I was looking back on the video topics I picked in the last month, and we've got text-to-rich, we've got academia and AI, and today I'm going to be talking about the recent Vogue article that went absolutely viral. Is having a boyfriend embarrassing now? It's eclectic, to say the least, but I'm interested in a lot of things, so just like you, my dear viewer, my name's Alice. Welcome back to my channel. You know what, we'll go straight to the piece, no introduction needed. Is having a boyfriend embarrassing now? Question mark. That question mark is very important. I do the same thing every now and then when I have a title that feels very clickbait. I just add a little question mark to soften things a little bit. But yeah, the main argument of this piece is that the author perceives a trend where women are hiding their boyfriends from photos and stories. They don't speak about their boyfriends that much. The reason behind this is a fear to be perceived as, let's call it this way, a normie. In that case, it means a woman who cares too much about relationships, about having a boyfriend and having her social life revolve around that boyfriend. In other words, a woman who goes along with societal norms around womanhood. So that's not cool, the author argues. What's perceived as cool now is to be independent from one's relationship to a man, to not show the man, to not brag about the man, etc, etc. Now, before we get to the content, I want to highlight a few things about the form, the structure. First, there's no interview or academic source attached to this piece. There's a mention of a podcast and also a Substack post that itself doesn't contain any stats, interviews, or academic citations. Now, I don't say that to diminish the piece. I'm saying this because it impacts how we should view and judge it. This is not a sociological study, it's a take based on the algorithmically filtered feed of the writer, and it should be read as such. You know, there are a lot of great takes circulating on the internet, that's why I'm saying this is not meant to diminish it. But yeah, this piece doesn't have the ambition to be universal, to establish some grand truth. It's called an essay for a reason. It comes from the French verb essayer, which means to try, and I'm here to provide my own essay, my own try, and you will be the judge of it. Now let's move on to the content. I'll start with the title. Is having a boyfriend embarrassing? That title is polemical, it's satirical. A lot of people reacted to it by making fun videos or tweets saying things like, quote, Vogue is validating my lifestyle, which matches the ironical tone of the article. You see, it's polemical for the sake of initiating discourse, and let's be honest, they were successful at this. Now, despite the irony and the polemical tone, I still think it's interesting to engage with a piece like this. In the past couple of months, I've seen the word heteropessimism appear a lot in op-eds and Substack articles. Others prefer the term heterofatalism. I've actually used that term myself critically in my own book, and it's mentioned in this article as well. Heterofatalism is defined as the performative disaffiliations with heterosexuality, usually expressed through regret, embarrassment, or hopelessness about straight experiences. While the term sounds fancy and academic, the reality is that it's something most heterosexuals have felt at some point in their lives. The marriage is hell jokes are symptomatic of heterofatalism, humor as a coping mechanism. But also look at incel communities. There are some of the most heterofatalist spaces out there. They love to mock straight culture, caricaturing straight people into Chads and Stacys, but simultaneously can't imagine living outside of it. That's pretty much the angle that the author chose for this article, heterofatalism and women's response to it. The author speaks about women purposely hiding their boyfriends out of embarrassment, meaning the boyfriend is still there, just unseen. He's not on Instagram stories or posts. In real life, he's not talked about much, not necessarily shown. Maybe he's not good enough. Maybe he doesn't say the right things or look the right way. To put it simply, he's seen as potential damage for a woman's reputation. The author mentions that some female influencers and author contributor, I believe, have lost followers after posting about their boyfriends, implying that the existence of a boyfriend made them lose appeal to, I assume, a predominantly female audience. By highlighting this, the author implies that the influencers, the writers, have lost value. They weren't perceived as cool. In that sense, the relationship with the man is viewed through the lens of what it can bring or take away from someone in terms of social value. Now, we could say that's a very transactional view of relationships. My first reaction to the piece was, gosh, should we really make our relationships with men so transactional? A matter of increased or decreased social value? A matter of bragging versus hiding? And then I remembered, duh. relationships have always been somewhat transactional. Back in the days, women were literally transferred from father to husband, and that transaction was calculated to enhance the reputation, to enhance the economic status of both the family and the future husband. Today, those transactions aren't as obvious, but still, when you look at the social classes of people who marry, who date, there are strong correlations. You tend to date someone, you tend to marry someone of the same social class. So there is definitely an economic, financial aspect to how we do relationships. This article just felt like the counterpart to how men have viewed women for so long as social assets to present to family or friends to gain social points. You know, it's in those few seconds following the introduction of the girlfriend that a man's social value is determined. If the girlfriend is good looking enough, she passes the test. Friends shake hands, an extra wink might be included. So what is she like, a 7 out of 10? I don't know if you know this, but there's a theory in psychoanalysis. It's been developed by Sedgwick, and it argues that heterosexual male relationships often depend on repressed or displaced homosexual desire, socially redirected into competition, camaraderie, or validation.
Then there's the rare occasion when two teammates are really close friends, and one of them randomly hits the other's ass super hard. It means, damn, your cheeks are looking nice today.
To come up with this theory, she looked at a wide range of cultural productions across time and came up with the idea that, yeah, hetero men aren't actually strictly hetero.
After all these years, still close.
If we accept this theory, then the girlfriend becomes just another trophy to increase one's social value among peers to please your male friends. So I wondered, isn't that Vogue article implying the same thing, but the other way around? Yes and no. You see, in the case described by the article, the quality of the boyfriend isn't what's being debated. It's his mere existence that is deemed uncool. Not having a boyfriend or not centering your boyfriend signals a rejection of gendered norms, a rejection of the culture most Gen Z and millennial women were brought up in, with, you know, Disney love stories and damsels in distress. It's countercultural not to center your life around your boyfriend, and the Vogue article highlights that. But, and that's where my criticism really begins, I think this piece is missing the bigger picture. And let's be honest, you know, I'm not expecting Vogue to provide a full analysis of the phenomenon it describes. That's not what Vogue is known for, and that's fine. Vogue's core audience is middle and upper class young women who want to know what is culturally relevant and what's not. That's the target audience. That's what we should expect. And again, that's fine. This isn't the criticism. The criticism is coming soon. The reason why I'm making this video is because the conversation about boyfriends being embarrassing has expanded beyond the usual Vogue demographic. It has entered public discourse. And it now feels important to me that the analysis provided in this article isn't the only way people look at this phenomenon, because once again, I think it's missing the bigger picture. So now that the disclaimers is done, what is the bigger picture? Well, let's look at one of the argument examples given in the article, where influencers, writers have lost followers after revealing their boyfriends online. The author uses this as an argument that boyfriends are in fact embarrassing. But personally, when I saw this, I thought about something quite different. You see, influencing is a job, and losing followers isn't just an inconvenience, it has real financial consequences. There is pressure on influencers to make sure their numbers go up. For lifestyle influencers, that means putting forward a version of themselves that's culturally relevant. One example is vlogger and influencer Moya Mohini, who once said in a video a year or so after lockdown that since she had stopped centering content around being alone in her lockdown space and started going out and seeing people again, she had received comments from viewers missing the quote old Moya, the quote lockdown Moya. The implication was that Moya should tailor her content toward a specific lifestyle, introverted, lonely, instead of the one she truly wanted, extroverted, outdoorsy, social. If you watch lifestyle content, you know how popular the living alone videos are. The solo date with myself, solo travel, living alone diaries, they are so popular. I made a video about it a while back. But as you watch those videos, that content, it doesn't take too long to realize that the vlogger isn't actually alone. Sometimes they live with roommates, a partner, sometimes they see friends during the day, but those social bits are kept to a minimum. There's an incentive to present yourself as living alone to, I assume, preserve that special bond with the viewer who has, without realizing it, developed a parasocial relationship with you, a kind of dependency on you as a person, creator, product. So going back to Moya, you know, she still uses the aesthetic of loneliness. She nevertheless reminded fans that she likes hanging out with people as much as she likes being by herself. In other words, she has a life outside you, the viewer, the consumer of her content. She's dependent on us for money, that's for sure. But she's not dependent on us emotionally. While Moya doesn't have anything to do with the boyfriend thing, her fans' disappointments at her post-lockdown social life is, to me, very similar to fans unfollowing creators who show their boyfriends. There is an expectation that influencers belong to us. They depend on us for money, and in return, we act like mini bosses, expecting them to devote all their attention to us, to prioritize us, to meet our needs. Again, the creator economy is an industry with workers, business owners, consumers, and sponsors. And what happens in the creator economy also happens in traditional workplaces. Because women are socialized to care for others and tend to have more relationships than men, and by relationships I mean friendships, etc., well, they constantly have to prove their dedication to work. Men's dedication to work is never really questioned. Career success is seen as a man's true purpose, so we believe that men will always prioritize work over relationships. Women, on the other hand, are under scrutiny. They can be asked during interviews about their relationship status or if they plan on having kids. As workers, women are sometimes shamed by managers when they announce a pregnancy, the implication being that they are selfish for letting their co-workers down and prioritizing their desire to have a child. I think it's important to keep that in mind when we look at influencers losing followers after showing their boyfriends, or women hiding their boyfriends altogether. To me, it's not just a matter of embarrassment or reclaiming agency against gender normed. I'm sure there's some of that, but I want us to also look at the fact that this is something we see in traditional workplaces, you know, pressure put on women to separate their emotional and social lives from their work, to constantly reassure their bosses, all their viewers, that they're fully dedicated to them. So maybe the real question isn't whether having a boyfriend is embarrassing, but why women still feel the need to prove their personal lives don't interfere with their worth, whether that's at work, online, or in relationships. You see, when I read that article for the first time, I didn't really see women being embarrassed about their boyfriends. I saw women trying to protect something, their image, their privacy, or maybe their sense of self in a world where everything is content. I understand that this phenomenon can be viewed in many different ways, and, you know, that's just my take on it. This take is probably influenced by my own experience as a content creator, careful about what and who I post online. And I think that's ultimately what this piece reveals. Not just about influencers, but about how we all negotiate what we choose to share and what we choose to protect, and how those choices are influenced by a variety of factors we may or may not have control over. That's it for me. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, the conversation continues in the comment section. I'm really excited. Really excited to hear about your takes on this. Actually, I am. I find this topic so interesting. So let's go to the comment section and share what you think about this whole phenomenon. If you enjoyed this video, don't forget to like, to subscribe, turn on the notifications. And you can also support me and my team on Patreon. That's the best way to support the work that I do. We have exclusive content over there, Discord chat, lots of things, lots of funny things. Great community. So yeah, I think that's it for me. I would like to say a big thank you to my Patreons and a special thank to top tier Patreons. Nofel Shamari, Fred, Hongqing Huang, Paul-Louis Agenou, Patrick Button, Jeff Lee, Yilan, Taya Matin, Nick, Brandon, James Sido, Ojoal, Pablo, Patrick, Boris, Ria, Corey G, Tristan, Christopher, Ion, Donage, Alex, Manuel, Christopher France, and Perry. And thank you to the other ones who prefer to stay anonymous. I think that's it for me. Yeah, I'll see you very soon. Salut!